The thoughts, views, and opinions you may hear on this show are just that. Thoughts, views, and opinions from not only myself, but from my guests. So if you don't like them, disagree with them, or whatever the case may be, well, there's a simple solution to all of that, and that's just stop listening. However, if you're eager to hear the conversation we had, sit back, turn it up, and enjoy the show. Yeah, that.
The Yeah Dat Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Yeah Dat Podcast, hosted by yours truly, West Coast Rob. How y'all doing out there? I hope y'all are doing well. The homie is doing well. Before we get into this episode, we got to recap the last episode, episode 70. Run it back. We talked about the presidential inauguration, Starbucks new policy, some crazy gestures that went down at the inauguration, plus a whole slew of other things. So if you haven't already, go back and check it out. For those returning listeners, you already know I got love for y'all. I appreciate y'all so much. If you're new to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. So for this week's episode, your homie is currently out to sea. For those new to the podcast, I'm in the military and I am currently out to sea. So with this week's episode, we're going to revisit one of our early episodes from 2021, back when I had the American Cornhole League's chief marketing officer, Trey Ryder, on as a guest. Now, cornhole is a sport that has just blown up over the past few years. And in 2021, we were coming off of COVID, and I would see it on ESPN, and I'm just like, what is this game that is being shown on ESPN? So I watched it, and I was like, okay, a little beanbag toss or whatever, woo-woo-woo. So I reached out to Trey, asked him if he wanted to be on the podcast and talk about the sport, and he agreed. So tune in and check out how Trey goes over, aspirations for the game, for the league, for the sport itself. And if you enjoy cornhole, you're going to enjoy this episode. We talk about ways to become professional and their ultimate goal of like where they see the sport headed and the path they want the sport to go to. So make sure you tune in. Episode 20, back when the podcast was called Yeah Dat the Podcast, and before we rebranded it. So I changed it up a little bit, you know what I mean? I updated it as much as I could. So remember, this is one of the early episodes, so some of the audio may be a little subpar than where we are at now. You know what I mean? But I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. If you're listening, make sure you rate the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to this on. If you're on Apple Podcasts, scroll down, give it a 5-star. If you're on Spotify, make sure you like it or you give it the stars or whatever the rating is. And if you're on YouTube, there's not going to be a new YouTube video, but just scroll down to episode 20. There's already a video uploaded. This is the homie West Coast Rob signing out. I'll see y'all next week with a brand new episode. Yeah, Dat.
The Yeah Dat Podcast.
All right. So now we're good to go. We're recording. Everything's good to go.
Sweet.
All right. Awesome. First, I want to say thank you for taking the time out and to be on the show, be a guest on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all.
If you don't mind, would you please introduce yourself to the listeners and the viewers out there?
Yeah, so I am Trey Ryder, Chief Marketing Officer for the American Cornhole League. And most of my time is spent overseeing our social media content, and other initiatives for the American Cornhole League. I also do a small part of my job now is still doing some broadcasting for the sport as an analyst. But then also, like I said, things like social media, our newly launched 24-hour channel, ACL Cornhole TV, as well as our ACL Digital Network are all things that are kind of on my plate.
Right on. Now, I have an abundance of questions in regards to
cornhole and everything. But first, I wanna get to know you a little more, though. So, Clemson alum, I've seen that in your profile.
Yep, that is correct. Clemson alum.
Okay, are you from South Carolina?
So, not from South Carolina originally. I was actually born in Massachusetts, but moved when I was in elementary school. My parents moved me down to Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay, so that's where I went to middle and high school. And so from there, I ended up going, jumping over down the border into South Carolina. So bounced around a little bit, but ultimately made my way back here into Rock Hill, South Carolina, where I live now.
Okay, yeah, I have friends from Rock Hill, and I know that border, it's right there on that border, so easy access to North and South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. I run on the border, I'm about 25 minutes from North Carolina.
Okay, yeah. I'm originally from San Diego, but I had to move to South Carolina, like right outside Myrtle Beach, so the Clemson, Gamecocks memorabilia.
Yeah.
I'm accustomed to all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's always a fun one. It's always a good one to get to, and it's a fun rivalry.
Clemson on the better side of that rivalry for a couple years now.
And hopefully it extends this year. Although I'm a lot more nervous than I was at the start of the season.
How old are you, Trey?
So I am, how old am I now? 28 years old.
Oh man,
so,
young.
Yeah, just turned 28 in September.
Okay, you're young, man. I'm 36, so I got some years on you.
Yeah, a couple. Before I know it, I'll be up there too. But yeah, still trying to live through my 20s, I guess.
There you go. It's nothing wrong with being in the 30s, though. I just give you that.
Absolutely.
So I seen that the ACL's headquarters is in Rock Hill, correct?
Correct. Yep. Okay. We just opened our what we call our ACL HQ, mm-hmm. which is our corporate world headquarters. Just opened that.
Very nice.
Really, we got in there for office space in around it was late May, I think, that we got in there for office space, but we just opened to the general public. In August. Okay. So it kind of doubles as a office space and also kind of what we call the ACL HQ, which is kind of like a think bowling alley meets cornhole. It's kind of one of the first of its kind facilities. We have a bar, we have 13 lanes of permanent cornhole courts, bag rentals. We open it up to court lane rentals. We have special events. We have, just a variety of different things, all centered around the HQ.
Yeah, I seen it online on the website. That place looks very nice, very
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. And being kind of the first of its kind, it draws a lot of eyes and a lot of attention.
Okay. So what drew you to like cornhole and being a part of the organization?
The first time I ever went to or really saw a cornhole tournament played was at a Charlotte Knights AAA baseball game. And I went with my dad and we saw, we had played at tailgates and we were pretty coordinated. My dad was a two-sport athlete in college. I played, football and baseball in high school. And so we were just like, this is... we're pretty good. Right. We could be pretty good at cornhole, right? So we entered the tournament. We just got our butts absolutely kicked. it was, we had some guys in there that played on a semi-competitive basis and just waxed the floor with us. And so, we genuinely were interested, right? Mm-hmm. For us to get beat badly at something, it was like, all right, now I gotta figure out how to get better at this thing. So, we got some information and really just said we want to start going to these things. Mm-hmm. And so, we kind of got plugged into the leagues around us and just started playing. And so I played until I graduated high school. And when I went off to college, I couldn't play as much. My dad continued to play, and that's why he's still really good. He's actually one of our professional players. Nice. But, I continued to play after I graduated, and just getting more involved with the sport. And then the ACL came around in 2015, and they had their first championships in 2016. And so, my dad kind of got involved. He met Stacy Moore, who was our commissioner, through some different tournaments that he was running in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so as Stacy started to build this ACL, I was, you know, my dad kept telling me, you know, he's really trying to build this out, make it something really big, really special. And I was like, nah, it's not. I mean, it's just cornhole. Yeah. You know, I love it, but yeah. And then, you know, they kind of got a big break on ESPN3 in 2016. And that's when my wheels started turning a little bit, like, oh, okay, this is actually something that's, can be big. Yeah. So, you know, when 2017 rolled around, I found myself more and more, you know, just amazed with the growth and how it was building. And they were looking for a color commentator. And although I didn't have any broadcast experience, I considered myself pretty well-spoken. I was someone that was very analytical, having an engineering background. And I had a passion for the game. And I was very analytical when I thought about the game and talked about the game. Yeah. And so when they were looking for a color commentator, I kind of threw my hat in the ring. And I got a call from Stacy that they liked me enough that they wanted to give me a shot. So I flew out to Vegas and had my first event in Las Vegas. And from there, really kind of the rest is history. I did a couple broadcasts. We ended up on ESPN2 that summer in July. It was a really special time. It was really cool to be a part of it. And then my role just built from there. I started doing commentary, and then we tacked on kind of a social media manager type of role. And then on top of that, after that, we tacked on, you know, a media director role, which was kind of overseeing a lot of different things. And then ultimately in January of this year, I transitioned full time into being a chief marketing officer.
Okay. So no more commentating for you.
Well, no, I still do the commentating on networks, but it's just it's a lot smaller portion of my role now than what it used to be. I mean, that used to be everything for me, right?
Right.
Now it's really like 5 to 10% of what I do now. It's just this much smaller portion.
Okay. And I think that's what drew me to you, because so I'm in the military and, you know, going to parties and stuff. Cornhole's a thing. So
yeah,
I never knew about cornhole until joining the military. And I'm like, what is this game that everyone loves playing with the custom boards and the bags? I'm like, what is this game? And I'm like, bro, this is cornhole. Like, where have you been? So then I started seeing it on TV and I was like, wait, this is professional? You can be a professional cornhole player. That's nuts to me. So my neighbor this past Memorial Day, he has like custom Rogue cornhole boards. So I'm out there I'm gonna get into this. So then I played, started watching it, and I believe you were commentating one of the events I was watching, and you were saying like the moves or something, and I was like, what is this? So I looked you up, and that's how I got your contact info, and I was like, it was hype. I was intrigued because you were like, oh, he's about to do a blah 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 blah. And then he did it. The person did it, and you went crazy. And I was like, "What is going on?" So I was like, "I have to learn more. I have to learn more." And here we are. Here we are. So
yeah, it's
go ahead.
Yeah, it's an addicting sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that when someone we hear this story over and over again. I was flipping through the channels, and it came on, and I said to myself, what is this? Why is this on TV? But then 10 minutes later, I found myself still watching and still interested to see what happens. And that's kind of where we like to live. We like to be subtly addicting. That's kind of the phrase we use, subtly addicting. It's something that catches your eye and keeps your curiosity just for long enough to get you hooked.
Yeah.
And then you become a fan.
Right. Like, and I'm open-minded to everything, you know, and it's just playing it. I didn't know the point scale and all that. So today I learned the point scales and all that stuff. For those that who don't understand cornhole, can you break down the general basis of points and rules and all that?
Yeah, so cornhole, pretty simple game. You can either play singles or doubles. And you start by you will alternate throwing four bags, cornhole bags, and a cornhole bag is a piece of fabric or multiple pieces of fabric that have plastic resin beads inside of them. They are 16 ounces, so a pound in weight, and you will alternate with an opponent throwing four bags each until all eight bags have been thrown, and you are throwing them 20 27 feet down a lane towards another cornhole board at the other end. That cornhole board is 3 inches from the ground on the front and about 12 to 13 inches from the ground on the back. The board is a 2-foot by 4-foot board with a 6-inch diameter hole, 9 inches from the back of the board. So you're essentially trying to throw as many bags into the hole as you can. For every bag that you get on the board, you get 1 point. For every bag that you get in the hole, you get 3 points. But then we utilize cancellation scoring. So if I were to put 3 bags in the hole and 1 bag on the board, that would be 10 points. If you put 2 bags in the hole and 1 bag on the board, that's 7 points. So we would subtract those out. 10 minus 7 would be 3 points, and I would get 3 points towards my overall score. And you play to 21 or over. You don't have to hit 21 exactly. You don't have to win by two. And so if you're in singles play, you'll play against an opponent, and then you'll both throw your 4 bags alternating. Then you'll walk down to the other end. If you're playing doubles play, I'll throw against my opponent right next to me. We're alternating. I'll throw our 4 bags. And then my teammate is going to stand directly in front of me on the same side of the board. Whereas my opponent's partner will be diagonal from me on the other end. So it's addicting, man.
Do you guys do it to where, like, if you're playing singles and say I throw a bag and it's on the board, and then you throw a bag and it's on the board, it's a deduction type thing? Is that a part of the rules also?
Yeah, the cancellation scoring always happens at the end of the round. Okay. So if, for example, if you put a bag in the center of the mm-hmm. board, right, that's valued at 1 point, but then I push your bag mm-hmm. in, you'll get 3 points valued for that bag. But then at the end of the round, you'll subtract how many points you have and how many points I have to give us whoever that net score is, adding to the total score.
Okay. So is there a time limit on, like, the number of events or rounds until 21?
Yeah, so most of the time we just play to 21 or over. Mm-hmm. There's not a time limit involved. So they can be last long. I mean, they can be hour-long games. Most frequently, they're about 15 to 20 minutes is usually the time, but they can be super long. But I will say, in some of our events, in some of our exhibition events, mm-hmm. We will do a modified format to add some intensity and to make it more made for TV. And we'll limit the number of rounds that the game is played. So similar to baseball and innings, we'll say this round is only going to be 12 rounds. And if after 12 rounds the score is 7-5, then whoever had 7 wins. Okay. That's not traditional cornhole, but that's a format that sometimes we use, specifically in our pro shootout series, which happens over the summer on CBS networks. That shootout series is going to be round limited versus traditional cornhole that you see on our ESPN series.
Okay. So with becoming a pro, I seen anyone can play, anyone can join. Are there, like, different? I seen there was like 4 skill levels. Does that apply to pros, or is that just like exhibition or amateur?
Yeah, what's great is we have 5 overall skill levels, which is really cool. Okay. Novice, intermediate, competitive, advanced, and pro. Okay. And so that ranges all the way from, you're just getting involved for the first time, you don't really know how to play, you just want to learn how to play the game at the novice level, all the way to our professional players, in which some of them are doing this as a full-time job, others are aspiring to do it as a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So cornhole, so we have all of these different events. The ones as a national staff that we oversee are mostly our pro level events, but then we also sprinkle in some combined pro and advanced level tournaments throughout the season. But then what's really cool is we have a director network of over 350 directors across the country, and those directors will run tournaments ranging from your Tuesday night bar league for anybody that wants to walk up and pay $5 and play, all the way to something like a conference event that may bring together players of 3 different states together competing for tens of thousands of dollars in prize money, a couple times a year. So there's a variety of different tournament levels. There's a variety of different skill levels, and that's what makes it such a great sport to get involved in, is because you can start by playing against people of your skill level, or you can jump right in. If you think you can take on the best, we encourage it. We hope you qualify to be a pro the next coming season. So we have a pro qualification process and a variety of other, tournaments that we host all throughout the season, and it all leads up to our World Championships, which happens each year in August.
Okay, so how long is a season normally?
Yeah, so it's pretty much year round, right? So our World Championships is the first week in August, and then our season restarts October 1st.
Okay.
So if that gives you any indication, we don't take much time off, because cornhole can be, cornhole can be so mobile and be played anywhere that, inside, outside, it doesn't require, a lot of infrastructure to host it. So we kind of lean on that and make it really a year-round sport.
Now, is the ACL, I know you guys are big CONUS. Are you guys like internationally, trying to expand?
Yeah, so we're in about 15 countries at the moment, and that ranges from full-blown leagues and tournaments and national championships all the way to, we got a group of about 30 people in a country that are starting the basis for forming a big league in that country. And ultimately, cornhole is going to be an Olympic sport one day. We know that. It's just crazy. A question of when. Yeah. And so for us, we have to get in 75 countries in order for cornhole to be an Olympic sport. So one of the things that that's a big focus for us. We have dedicated people on staff that their entire goal is focusing on international expansion and growth. So really excited to kind of see how that plays and how that evolves. But ultimately it's, we're in about 15 countries at the moment, trying to really build out across all different countries and continents.
You ever aspire to be pro, or are you a pro?
No, I would say a long time ago I wanted to be, but I'm just so much in my own head when I start to play the game competitively. Like I mentioned before, I'm super analytical, and I just find myself overanalyzing every little thing that I do.
Yeah.
And so ultimately that doesn't bode well for me. So I am glad to throw some bags every now and then. I'm glad to, play in a charity tournament here or there, but I am glad to not have all the pressure on me on the pro side.
Yeah, it's harder than people think. Like playing and then watching the pros out there on TV. They're literally throwing it in the hole from 27, landing in the hole. That is absurd.
Yeah, what's so cool, and I think this is part of the reason that cornhole is becoming so popular, is that it's actually pretty, it's not very difficult to get good at or decent at, right? But to be the next level, to be a professional, it requires the same level of dedication that you see other athletes in their sports, right? I mean, these people that are competing at the highest level, they're throwing hours and hours a day. They're throwing 1,000 bags a day, right? They're training in the same way an athlete would. But what makes it so difficult is that, that 6-inch hole is the first, one of the first things that people make two comments when they don't see professional cornhole played for the first time, or they see it played for the first time. When they walk up to the boards, they go, number one is, wow, that's far away.
Yeah.
And number two, they go, wow, these bags are heavier than I thought they would be. So that's one thing that, it takes a long time for people to adjust and really get the, the rhythm down of how cornhole is played at the highest level.
Yeah. I got more respect for cornhole players now, playing and then watching. It's just, you just think, oh, I'm going to toss this beanbag into this hole over here. No, it's not that simple. Then there's the techniques of how you throw it. And it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is. It's unbelievable the control and the manipulation that some of these players have over the bags and things that they can make it do. It's just, some of them are, for lack of a better word, they're just magicians.
Yeah. Oh, man, I can see it. Is there like an eligibility that the pros have to obtain within the season? Or is once you're a pro forever?
Yeah, so they have to, there's a variety of different ways that pros can either qualify for the first time, existing pros can re-qualify, a variety of different methods. But the easiest way to break it down is if you're a current pro, you can re-qualify via pro standings. Okay. If you finish high enough in the rankings, you automatically get to come back the next season. Okay. If you're not a pro, we have standings for amateurs that we call open standings. And if you finish in the top X amount of open standings, which includes anybody across the country, if you wanted to start playing cornhole and compete in open standings and finish high enough, you could automatically qualify to be a pro next season. Those are the kind of the two major ways, whether you're a pro or a non-pro. And then kind of the third way that anybody can do is every year we have a variety of different qualifier events. We have one big qualifier event at our World Championships, which people can play in and register for. It's a huge event, and we only take a certain number from each from the event. And then we also offer qualifier events for each ACL conference across the country. So you being on the West Coast, if the Western Conference in the ACL always hosts a conference pro qualifier. If you win that pro qualifier, you become an ACL pro the following season. So it's a mixture of both events and then also standings that count events throughout the course of a season.
Okay. And so I'm a pro bodybuilder. So it's similar to like the bodybuilding shows. There's different shows and there's qualifiers. You win the show, then you can qualify to become a pro.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly the same concept.
That's pretty cool. So the correlation between the two sports, once you're in the ACL, I know there's another organization, you're not allowed to compete in that one, correct?
So if all of our professional players essentially are competing 100% in our ACL pro division, they'll compete in some other open events that we had. Remember I mentioned open standings, they'll play in those throughout the entire season, but the slate of what we got, they're committed, they're contracted to play in our events and they're dedicated to those.
That's good. Yeah, because I seen there was another organization and I was like, oh man. ACL seems legit. So I gotta ask the question. So you guys are on the path of trying to make it an Olympic sport and building the sport. Do you guys, I mean, I know you've heard the stigma, you get the criticisms of it not being a sport or whatever. Like what's your take on that?
I take it and just say, hey, just watch it for a little bit. Yeah. Just play it a little bit. And I think your mind would change, because I think just like you said, people gain an appreciation for our sport once they actually see what some of our athletes can do and how consistent and unbelievable they can be. And when I look at other Olympic sports and other opportunities, I just say to myself, you know, there's equal if not more skill involved with cornhole in some facets. You know, take something like curling, right?
Right.
I mean, curling has become such a big popular thing in the Winter Olympics, and I think cornhole has a lot of similarities, but I think it has a lot of things that make it somewhat even more exciting, right? I mean, cornhole in a way is almost like 3D curling, because curling is essentially just played on a plane, right? But yeah, cornhole can have different ways that bags interact with each other, and they go on top of each other, and they go around and to the side and through. It's just played a little bit differently. You know, look at something like bowling. Bowling is, you know, I think the one thing that separates cornhole from a sport like bowling is you can play defense in cornhole. You can't play defense in bowling. You can't play defense in golf, right? Yeah. Because if your opponent is playing the game of their life, there's nothing that you can do to stop them. In cornhole, that's not the case. If you have someone that's on a really big streak, there are things that you can do to your opponent to make them change their strategy and to possibly set them up to miss shots moving forward. Right. So It's a sport that gets a lot of snickers when you originally mention it, but ultimately it's something that I think people grow to have an appreciation for once they get immersed in it.
Right, and I don't see why it couldn't or it won't be an Olympic sport. I mean, people, like you said, those two sports you've referenced, and then there's like airsoft and just other, the archery. I mean, there's other sports that are, you know.
Right.
So why not? Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not?
So with the, I didn't know the defense and all that stuff. Like what, so how would one play defense on cornhole? Like how is that?
Yeah, so the highest percentage shot in cornhole, the one that's played the most out of anything, is what we call the slide shot. Mm-hmm. And that's a player throwing the bag, trying to land in the center of the board and sliding up and into the hole.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, when you throw a slide shot, the reason you throw a slide shot is because you have a little bit of room for error. If you throw what we call an airmail, which is kind of like a swish in basketball, I throw it straight in. You're throwing, a 6-inch bag into a 6-inch hole, 27 feet away. Statistics tell you, with no defense, that's a harder shot than an NBA 3-pointer. Mm-hmm. Now I know that get a lot of eye rolls and everything like that, but in all seriousness, statistically, that is the case.
Of course, makes sense.
So what a slide shot is just higher percentage because you don't have to hit exactly on a dime every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason is, so people throw a slide shot. So if I don't want you to be able to do that anymore, if I don't want you to be able to throw the slide shot over and over and over again, I can lay a what we call a block shot. I can throw the bag higher, land it in the center of the board. And now if you threw that same slide shot, my bag would stop. Or your bag would stop, or any of our bags would just stop in the center of the board. And so you're essentially creating chaos. You're creating a mess on the board, causing players to have to do something different. You know, whether that means now I have to throw the airmail, or maybe I have to throw it a little bit harder and push through it, or maybe I step out a little bit and I try to go around it and I try to throw my bag at an angle. Maybe I throw a cut shot, or, you know, all these different strategies get unleashed. With defense involved in the game, and I think that's really what sparks the conversation. And I saw a little bit of a chuckle there when I said cut shot, but I think that's what genuinely probably interested you, right?
Yeah.
Because when you tuned in, you saw me talk about something, some level of strategy to it.
Yeah.
And that's when you got interested. You were like, whoa, wait a second, what did he just say? And so that's when you got hooked. And I think that's not true with something like bowling, right? In bowling, you know, how many times can you say that this person's going to try to spin it this way and hit it? Now, bowling commentators and bowling TV love when people miss, because if they miss, that means they get an opportunity to talk about the splits. They get to talk about what they're going to try to do. And that's when bowling can become interesting, whereas cornhole gets that every single round, which makes it special.
So in order to play, so playing defense, like using the example, that would more so be towards like someone who's like in the lead, because you're like somewhat sacrificing possible points to block.
No? Possibly yes, possibly no. So for example, there are some top level players that regardless if they're winning or losing, if they have the opportunity to go first, they're going to put a block in the middle of the board every single round. And the reason for that is they believe that playing that style of game is an advantage to them. Because if then the person after them, you know, if they don't have a good airmail shot, if they don't have a good push shot, if they don't have all these fancy different shots, right, it causes them to do something different. If you look at something like really you're just putting your opponent into something like, let's look at a football analogy, right? If I have a team that has just an incredible running game, right? I'm not gonna play a game where I throw eight defensive backs on the field, right? I'm gonna put some beefy linebackers. I'm gonna put eight guys in the box. I'm gonna play man-to-man coverage, and I'm gonna say you're gonna have to throw the ball, right? And so cornhole's the same way. If I know the person next to me can literally slide 80 bags in the hole in a row, but their airmail is they can't really push the bag that well, you better believe I'm going to put a block right in the middle of it, because now I'm taking them away from their strength and possibly into a strength of mind. And I'm okay sacrificing that 1 point at the beginning if it ultimately means that I can get 3 points on the back end of the round.
Dang. I'm digging it. what are some other like shots or technique names? I'm trying to learn.
So we have five main shots.
Okay.
So the five main shots are the slide shot, the block shot, the push shot, the airmail, and then the roll. So players nowadays, it's actually a newer shot just in the past year and a half or so. It's become a thing. Players have learned how to naturally roll the bag, meaning that they can land it. And if you put a blocker up, I can land behind it and have my bag roll over it on purpose, which is just absolutely incredible. So, you know, players are learning that. There are things like, you know, a bully bag, which is pushing your opponent's bag out of the way and going in the hole at the same time.
Oh,
you have a cut shot, which has a bag go left to right or right to left around some bags on the board. The crowd favorite, the and one shot, which is I throw an airmail that hits my opponent's bag off the board while I go in the hole.
Dang.
People love the and one shot. So there's all different types of lingo. There's all these different shots that people are just kind of like creating and have to find names for.
That is so cool. So for everybody out there listening, don't sleep on it until you actually watch it and participate and learn it. Because it's actually pretty cool. Like I picked up, during COVID, I picked up cycling. And when I told a couple of my buddies, they're like, what? Riding a bike? What? Why? But cycling is legit. So you watch it and you learn. It's just same concept.
You know? Yep. Same concept. Exactly.
Same concept. That is awesome. But what else? I got some. Dang, I can't think of my other questions right now. You guys got a... So your main hub's in Rock Hill. You guys have another location, like a co-headquarters?
Mostly based in, completely based in Rock Hill, but we do have two facilities here in Rock Hill. One of them is, like I said, our ACL HQ, our corporate world headquarters. Mm-hmm. But our second facility is a manufacturing facility where we work with All Cornhole, which is one of our main sponsors, to manufacture cornhole boards. And so we do manufacture cornhole boards and then work with All Cornhole on cornhole bags. But we also have a great licensing program, across the country where we have over 60 different, approved ACL bag manufacturers. So, cornhole is a BYOB, bring your own bag sport. So we do have a certified list of bag manufacturers. That we allow to manufacture ACL approved bags. So those are scattered all over the country. But yeah, two main facilities in Rock Hill.
Okay. When you're getting ready to toss the bag to the board across, are you supposed to stand right next to the board, or do you have like a little leeway? Are you not supposed to pass a certain point?
Yeah, you have a box called the pitcher's box on either, so on one side of the cornhole board. So if I have to stand to the side of one of the board and I get a box that is the size of the board, but the length of the board, but then 3 feet wide. So I can go 3 feet out and all the way back to the back of the board. And then upon release of the bag, I cannot have my foot beyond the front of the board, which is the foul line.
Are there like refs? I'm sure there are refs. Like you guys have refs, correct?
Yeah. So generally for all of our broadcast courts, we'll have a referee on the court. But we're not quite to the point yet. When we go to a tournament, we have our 200. We have 256 professional players, and so when we go to those events, with those players, those 256 players. You know, we'll have 64 sets of cornhole boards set up at a facility. So at this time, we don't have 64 referees at every single court. It is something that's kind of self-officiated, you know, at the moment. There will come a time where that changes, but we're not quite there just yet.
Okay. Because I was wondering, like, how do you qualify and become a ref? Like, do you, you know, like, how's that work?
Our broadcast court referee at the moment is one of our national directors. So he knows the rule book in and out, and he knows all those things. So we put him up there.
Okay. Awesome. I need you got a crazy cornhole story you can share? Like something that just, when this question is asked, it just pops in your head, like this one time.
One of the things I always point to is, you know, what happened with us with COVID. I mean, we had an event canceled when COVID first hit. We had an event canceled 10 hours before it was supposed to start. When it first hit, and it was devastating for all of us. But because our sport is non-contact, because it can be socially distanced, because we could abide by a lot of different protocols, we were able to pivot, and we went to our partners at ESPN, and we just said, hey, look, we can put on these safe events. Let us have some airtime. And they said, you can have as much airtime as you want. And so we were literally on ESPN in 2020 for 8 straight weekends on the main ESPN channel for 4 hours at a time. And we were just, you know, just absolutely putting out as much content and broadcast as possible. And that's when we got that boom. And that was kind of our huge story. That's kind of our story in 2020, and why we had so much momentum in 2021 was because we had so many eyeballs on us because there was nothing else on. And we were able to kind of take advantage and be agile and do those things. And so it ultimately just led to a big success for us. And that was just, you know, that really helped us as we went into this year and continues to help us as we continue to try and grow.
Yeah, I think that's when I was introduced to the ACL was in during the COVID time of last year, because I was flipping through ESPN.
Yep.
And I'm like, what? Cornhole's on TV? Like, what is this? what exactly. is this? So yeah, I was introduced during COVID time, and then it was like you said, it was just on and on. So I would watch it, and then I would change the channel, then I would flip through and I'd watch it again, and I would stay a little longer, then I would change the channel. I'm like, all right, okay, that's, you know, you can't help but appreciate like cornhole's on TV, like that's cool. Like new sports getting their time on TV, like that's cool to me. Like, good for them. Good for you.
Yeah. It was a big year for us.
Yeah. So I have nothing but good vibes to give you guys, and I wish you guys nothing but luck in the future. I appreciate that. I appreciate your time on here, Trey. Shout outs before we go. I've taken enough of your time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, anytime if someone's interested in learning more, they can always go to iplaycornhole.com. That always has all the most up-to-date information on our national schedule, on our broadcast schedule, as well as just how to get involved if you're just looking to even start at your local Tuesday night blind draw bar league. There are opportunities for everybody. So iplaycornhole.com. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You can find us everywhere.
All of them. You're on all of them.
All of them. We're all over the place.
Right on. Well, Mr. Trey Ryder, I appreciate the time. I truly, truly appreciate you taking the time and being a guest on the podcast. And thank you so much. I have a newfound love for cornhole.
I love it.
I truly do. I truly do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you. This weekend, my neighbor, he has family over. I'm going to tell him to pull him out. I'm going to be like 27 feet. Like, let's go. Let's go.
There you go. I love it.
Trey, thank you again for your time, and I appreciate you being the guest.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. And there you have it, folks. That is a wrap for the episode with my special guest, Mr. Trey Ryder, the Chief Marketing Officer of the American Cornhole League. And it was a very informative episode. Everybody loves cornhole, and I know after listening to that, you learned a little more about cornhole and what their aspirations are in helping the sport expand, not only nationally, but globally. If you're interested and want to learn more, you can go to iplaycornhole.com, and it'll, right there, that website will tell you everything you need to know about cornhole. If you want to reach out to American Cornhole League's Chief Marketing Officer, Trey Ryder, you can reach him on Instagram at TreyRyder707, or you can hit him up on Twitter at TreyRyder_ACL, or you can follow the American Cornhole League on Instagram at American Cornhole League. Once again, thank you to Trey Ryder for taking the time out to be a guest on the show. I truly, truly appreciate you and appreciate your time. And thank you everybody out there for listening. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. It was a fun one. I learned a lot. So when you see cornhole on ESPN, you know, take the time, watch it, listen, learn. It's quite entertaining. So just be open-minded, give everything a chance. And you never know, you might just become the next American Cornhole League pro. Who knows? But thank you all for listening and for tuning in. For those of you interested, you can watch it on YouTube. Just type in Yad at the Podcast or type in West Coast Rob, and it's uploaded on YouTube. But thank you guys for listening, and make sure you do leave a comment, a like, you subscribe, you tell your friends about the episode. Until the next episode, thank you guys again and gals for listening to today's episode with Mr. Trey Ryder, American Cornhole League's Chief Marketing Officer. And until the next episode, yeah, that.
The Yeah Dat Podcast.